from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Glad to be here with you. It is Sports Daily. We are rocking and rolling live in a variety of places. Of course, first and foremost on KFH. Thanks to those listening in, streaming us, maybe through the Odyssey app. Thanks for those watching us now on 12 News Connected. KWCH.com. Thanks to those people for joining in the show. Glad to be here with you. Also for those watching us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, X, all kinds of different ways to take in the show these days. We appreciate you no matter where you are and how you're listening or watching. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers is producing for us. Jad Chambers, man in that IHOP hotline at 869-1240, which is open for your calls. It's also going to have a couple of guests today. Coming up in the second hour, Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills expected to join the program. Looking forward to another conversation with coach. Summer work's been going. What's he seeing from this crew? What can we expect? We'll begin to dig into that a little bit. And then we'll check in with our buddy Brandon Zinner, 12 News reporter, anchor, sports for 12 News out there at Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas. We'll wake him up early, but we won't make him get up until the second hour. I know he got there yesterday. Could have been a late night. He promises me he's up anyway getting his coffee, but we'll see how the night treated him out there in Vegas and get sort of a taste. Brett Yormark is speaking today a little bit later, so we'll kind of preview things a bit today with Brandon, and then we'll try and get him back in tomorrow as well. All kinds of good stuff. Your comments, your calls, it's all there for you. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. It's good to be here today. I'm doing our show from the Odyssey Studios today, the KFH Studios, and you know, we talk about it on the show every day, how grateful we are to Prairie Fire Coffee for providing our coffee here in the studio every single day. So I go and pour myself a cup of coffee. I've got my creamer that's like the one that I love, that I use every day. I've got it in my office, in a fridge. I don't want anybody touching it. And it's been a while since I've been here at the Odyssey Studio. I pour my creamer in my coffee, and it's all chunky. And so there goes my cup of coffee for the morning.
Jad, knowing this, I need you to fulfill my role. I'm going to need you to mess with Tommy and his creamer, please.
Really?
It's a very specific kind of creamer.
Yes.
And I'm a person of habit and routine, and so I don't go away from that. I don't go buy other flavors. My wife likes to try other kinds. I'm like, get me that one flavor. It's what I like. It's what I'll drink every day. So unfortunately, the one that I have here at the Odyssey Studios may have actually gone bad a few days ago.
Okay. Step one, we need to find out what flavor and what brand that is. Yep. So I can start messing with it. You're absolutely right.
Start messing. Yep. You got to switch it up, like dump it out and pour some other stuff in there. There's too many possibilities there.
And before that's anybody tells me that, hey, you know, the best way to solve this would be to just drink your coffee black.
Thank you.
Let me just jump in and get ahead of it by just saying I can't do that. And like maybe if I'm a psychopath, maybe I could drink my coffee black.
Excuse me?
You need a little bit of flavor in there. Like, that's just kind of, I understand you're a black coffee drinker. You're also a psychopath. So, you know.
And I was not always, I'm not ashamed to say this, maybe slightly. It's my wife that made me a black coffee drinker. I didn't drink coffee much, though. I don't think I ever put creamer in. I used to put sugar in it, but I was never a big coffee drinker. I don't even think, and I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I probably didn't have any sort of coffee drink until I was in, you know, like college. And then I would get like the cinnamon roll, mocha, whatever they would have down at the students. I'm like, this is incredible. What have I been missing? But then quickly you learn that's like a meal.
Yeah. You're drinking.
So then I was like, okay, well, how do I do it? So then I started to drink coffee when I started to work TV because I started on the morning show and you literally can't do it without coffee. Like you wake up at 2 a.m. or whatever. Jad knows what I'm talking about on this. Like you can't do it without coffee. And so it was like, okay, trying to do that. And then it became like I would just pour a little sugar in my coffee, which is fine. And then eventually my wife was like, well, why do you even need that? And I'm like, I don't know. And so then I really acquired the taste for it. It's like anything. It's like you had your first beer. Did you love your first beer? Probably not.
I don't know. I think I remember liking my very first beer. That's a little bit different, though. Oh, it's funny because I can't
drink. Maybe you start on a Zima, and then you put on your big boy pants, and you start to drink beer.
It's funny because I don't like black coffee, but I'll drink unsweet tea all day long. I like that above. Like, I won't drink sweet tea.
Correct.
But I've got to have a little bit of something in my coffee. And I'm not talking like I don't go a bunch of creamer and a tiny bit of coffee. It's just a splash of creamer. So it usually takes me a while to get through the entire bottle of it. For whatever reason, I think that bottle maybe had been in that fridge for a little bit too long.
Well, it'll be messed with. Now you'll have to wonder every day if Jad messed with your creamer.
Right.
And that's the best one is the anticipation. I have done something to it, that's just going to get you. That's fantastic.
But even like alcohol drinks now. Like, I don't mix much of anything with anything. Like, I drink bourbon and water. You know, there was like a genetic passing of the torch on that, but it's what I prefer. Like, I don't want it in another. I don't want it in a Coke. I don't want it in anything else. I just want it either straight or with water. It just doesn't matter what it is. Like, I don't flavor much of anything anymore, including coffee, which I'm having black coffee right now. The coffee at Odyssey is fantastic. As well.
Yeah, it's nothing at all about, you know, our buddies over at Prairie Fire. They do a phenomenal job. That coffee is delicious.
Well, plus, most people really good horchata latte. Yeah. Mm. That horchata latte is amazing.
Now you're getting into that's one of the most popular things we make. And it's you're in the majority on that. And those are different. I almost just treat those now like different. There are times where I want like an espresso drink and then that gets a little bit different, even though I like those plain, too. That might be a little psychopathic when they're like, what flavor? And I'm like, nothing, just give it to me. And I'm like, okay, weirdo. So we have, speaking of HTO, Jeb, we'll give away some HTO later in the program. We're also going to give away some NBC World Series tickets on the show today. Rick asks more food talk on a sports show. Yes, Rick, that is correct. Even though coffee is not food.
Yeah. I mean, it's drink
creamer
talk. Drink talk.
Although
on
creamer
a sports show.
Creamer might make it more like a food. They definitely.
Well,
maybe,
especially the creamer that you poured out that had chunks in it.
Yeah, at that point, when it becomes more solid than liquid, then it becomes more of a food.
When you need a fork and knife to drink your coffee, that becomes, man, I wish that would have gone in and you wouldn't have been paying attention. That would have been awesome.
I'm glad I was watching.
All right. Speaking of watching, thanks for watching us on our video stream. We got a new look on the video stream today. Shout out to Zeb for putting this together. Shout out for our friends at 12 News for getting us a new fancy show logo. Now we are rocking. We're in the big leagues now, Tommy. It's not. Doesn't look like I drew it and you know, with some font like that. We're looking good. We got all the good stuff on that video stream. And the cool thing about the video stream, if you're just joining us, if you're one of our 12 News connected viewers that is just now partaking in the video stream of the show, we can take video comments right here on the air, like William, who says, "Calm down, Rick. What else is going on other than baseball and racing?"
Hey, Wimbledon. Thank you, William. Wimbledon's going on right now.
Yeah, Coco Gauff's out, right? She lost yesterday, which, that's no fun. I have a daughter named Coco, so we root for Coco Gauff. There is, by the way, in the wheelchair tennis portion of Wimbledon, a Wichitan, Casey Ratzlaff, who's been in this a lot. We found out yesterday I was at 12 News at the other job, and they were like, "Hey, we need you to cut some." And I didn't realize this. I think I knew he was over there, or usually he is. I sort of assumed it. But, you know, we have somebody close to him that works for us now that's over there with him. So 12 News is going to have like reports from Wimbledon, which is really cool. So, you know, keep it apprised for that on 12 News. That'll be fun to watch. But we get into it, and you know, William says, "What else is going on besides baseball and racing?" The beauty of this summer is baseball is way relevant. And we find out yesterday Bobby Witt Jr. is in a home run derby, which I was really hoping he would be. Now, I don't know what I think of his chances in that just yet. I don't know that it's the best thing. Well, you know, it's strange about the home run derby, and people are getting on to Shohei Ohtani and all these people, and Pete Alonso, you know, well, Pete Alonso is a little different, but Shohei, for instance, for not getting in there. I'm like, guys, he's been in there a bunch. Like, I watched the home run derby, and I'm like, that's exhausting. Like, it looks exhausting. And so if he wants to take a year off, he's rehabbing a significant injury to try to come back and pitch. You really want him out there hacking it up? No, like, it makes perfect sense. So back off and let's celebrate some of the young stars. You're going to get Gunnar Henderson in there. You're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. in there. Those are two of the bright young stars. And no, I don't know that either one of those guys, especially not Bobby Witt Jr., strikes you as home run derby guy. But you know what? Salvador Perez didn't a few years ago either, and he dang near won that thing. Kind of got a bad luck. I don't know what I think about Bobby Witt Jr.'s chances in that, but Tommy, you got to remember too, like, this is hometown. Like, he's going to do the home run derby essentially in his hometown there in Arlington. That's where his dad played. I believe that's where he grew up. I think anyway, that area, that general area. So that's going to be awesome. That's going to be a show. He'll have the big, I would imagine, unless a Ranger ends up in there somehow, and I haven't seen the full list, but he'll be the fan favorite. Because people there are very fond of him. That will be fun to see. I'm curious to see if he can alter anything to, I don't know, get into it. I mean, he does hit bombs, but often he hits, you know, line drives that just get out. I'm curious to see how that plays for him. But I'm really glad he's in it. I'm really glad he'll take the national stage. Because we've talked about this before. What young star would you definitively take over Bobby Witt Jr. right now? Like, young star, not like Juan Soto
in general,
or those guys,
or
that
just
have been,
in the home run derby. In general,
no, in general.
Yeah, I mean,
in general,
I think the popular answer would be Gunnar Henderson. I think they're probably right there. You know, as far as like,
I think I'd take Bobby Witt Jr. over Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about this home run derby from top to bottom. Honestly, the format I still am trying to wrap my head around. I know that it's kind of like a combination of a couple of different past ways they've done the derby. But I'm excited not only for Bobby Witt Jr., but obviously Pete Alonso is back in it. He's fun to watch in home run derbies. You know, the former Shocker, Alec Bohm, in the home run derby as well. And so, you know, he could definitely put on a show. He's been doing that all season long for the Phillies. So there's a lot
now
of...
he's a name to watch.
There's
he
a lot of
a
local
bet.
Flair, yeah. You know, yeah, in this home run derby. And you know, the last few years, honestly, I've had the home run derby on in the background because there's nothing else going on that night. But I haven't really been locked into it probably since the year that Salvi made that run I'm going to be locked into it this year for Bobby Witt Jr., for Alex Bohm, for, you know, Pete Alonso, Marcelo Ozuna. I'm a Braves fan. He's in it. He's been hitting a lot of home runs this year. So I'm going to be locked in for a lot of different reasons. I think that there is a lot more intrigue this year in the Derby than there has been in years past.
There is, and the format changed too. If you missed that, they're getting a better format. And so that will also add to it. I think we won't have kind of what happened to Salvi, where he was the second best home run hitter, but it just was this weird bad luck to who you were matched up with. So all of that's going to be good. It will make it better. It will make it very good. I'm excited about it. But Bobby Witt Jr. definitely makes it more exciting for us. That's not even where we intended to start today. The Royals back in action, to the point of baseball is exciting this year for us this summer. For the first time in almost a decade. Think about that. Like, think about how long that's been. I thought that was really interesting. We had J.J. Piccolo on, the Royals general manager, yesterday. And the first thing he said when we asked about, you know, this offseason and this success was how happy he was for the fans. I've thought the same thing, right? Like, we've talked about that. Like, it has been so frustrating to see how basically the rebuild take one did not take. Right? It just didn't work. So then you had the start of the second rebuild, and it wasn't taking either. It was almost like the Royals had been through two cycles of the rebuild, neither of which took. And it was just like this massive cloud of, like, here we go again. Like, for so long, you know, you went from 85, you went, what was it, 30 years, basically, of just having one of the worst teams in baseball. And it felt like, there's no way this is going to happen to this fan base again. And so to hear the general manager, the architect of the offseason, say that the fans were the first, it was the first thing that he, like, in all the things, that was the first thing he said. And I've thought the same thing. Like, I'm so happy for Royals fans to have this back, to have this relevant baseball. And, you know, we're selfishly happy here. We're the home of the Royals on the radio. We love having them. You know, I go into 12 News and I love being able to talk about them in the summertime in a sports cast. We have not been able to do that for a very long time. Like, we would have had a Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby store. That would have been probably the first Royals content we would have been able to get in there for a while. Now it's every day. Like, you better be talking Royals every single day. And I love that. That's the best thing about baseball. It's why I love baseball. It gives it to you every single day. And so the Royals are back at it tonight, right in the middle of a playoff chase. Jeff Passan put something out for ESPN yesterday. He expects them to be aggressive. I think he outright said they will be. I got the same impression from J.J. Piccolo yesterday. And there was nothing he told us, Tommy, which, by the way, you can go back and watch that interview on the video stream. You can go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. There was nothing that he told us that did not tell me he was going to do something. Now, he had to have the obligatory, but we have to be careful of the future, of course, right? But in about three different ways, I thought he told us they were ready to be aggressive for the fans, for the guys in the clubhouse that committed to this team, and for the free agents that decided to come there. They do feel some obligation to be aggressive, which is, to me, the 100% right answer. You've put the fans through a decade of this. You've got Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, the lifer. Salvador Perez was a big part of the first round. You can't have Bobby Witt Jr. be Mike Trout, right, and just consistently play on bat. He'll leave, I think. But if he can be a part of something special a few times, maybe he won't. And that's a problem for way down the road, but that stuff matters. It does matter to star play. They want to win.
Look at Salvador Perez. I mean, look how young he was when the Royals were relevant and the Royals won a championship and went to back-to-back World Series. You know, now you look at it 10 years later, 9-10 years later, and, you know, he's still with the team, but that time in between, you know, it was, I know that he battled a couple of injuries during that time, so he wasn't always with the team, you know, throughout that entire stretch, but when he was, by and large, he was the star on the team, and they weren't winning games, and so you can look at Salvador Perez, and thank goodness he got his championship, you know, early in his career, but you look at him kind of as a cautionary tale on what you don't want to have happen with Bobby Witt Jr. long-term in his career. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. is a phenom, where Salvador Perez really wasn't coming up, and he kind of solidified himself as a star and grew into that. Bobby Witt Jr. was a star from day number one, but you can look at that from a cautionary tale of, you know, look, we cannot lock up this player, this, you know, potentially transformative player on our roster long term,
yeah,
and then not surround him with key contributors also to help give him the success that he deserves and that he needs. And so I do think that that's extremely important. A team like the Royals in a market the size of Kansas City, in the way Major League Baseball is structured with no salary cap, you have to strike while the iron is hot. You have to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, you can't say, well, there's always next year. You know, they can put something together for next year, 2 years or 5 years. You got to do it now because there's no guarantee that you'll ever be back in that position.
There isn't, and Salvi is a good example. And Salvi is not necessarily the right. Salvador Perez is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be, at worst, depending on Bobby Witt Jr., the second or third greatest Royal of all time. And so it has been, you know, the baseball equivalent of the kind of good fortune that the Chiefs have seen with, let's say, Travis Kelce, where that player is a Hall of Fame caliber player and did not have to stay financially, have to do what they're doing. So, yeah, you want to build on that too. Bobby Witt Jr. is your Patrick Mahomes. Bobby Witt Jr. is your superstar, take over the league kind of player. Salvador Perez has been a workhorse that plays through injury, that wants to catch every day, do everything he can for the team, be the face of the organization. Oh, and by the way, is a Hall of Fame player. Still in very much his, at least, offensive prime. So, anywho, they are back in action tonight. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this series coming up tonight with the Cardinals. It's a, you know, it's one of those kind of strange first pitches, so, you know, kind of be aware of that. We'll get into tonight's game, that quick series. It's just a little short series. A lot of days off here, but we'll dig in. A lot of things happening around the Royals. We didn't talk a ton yesterday about where things sit in the standings. We were busy with the launch and everything, and we'll get into them a little bit more here today. We also have big interviews coming up in the second hour. We'll talk to Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. We'll talk to Brandon Zinner, live out from Las Vegas at Big 12 Media Days. It's all coming for you on this Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. We'll be right back. All right, Sports Daily listeners, here's your chance to win tickets to the NBC World Series. You can participate once a day here. Just text the keyword STRIKE, that's STRIKE, to 20357. Each text entry will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the NBC World Series games. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody, on that. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour. We're talking Royals baseball here in hour number one of Sports Daily. Thanks for being with us. Over the air, on all the streams, wherever it is you're taking us in, including now on 12 News Connected. We're happy to be here with you. So the Royals get back in action here, Tommy, tonight against the Cardinals. Now, with the Cardinals, this it's a 6:45 first pitch, so it's kind of a weird start time. You'll get pregame coverage right here on KFH starting at 6:30, but it's a brief set. The Cardinals are a much better team now than they were at the beginning of the season. They have been consistently good for a little while. They sit there. They're very much in the middle of a playoff race. They've won 7 out of their last 10, and you're going to get a series here with them, and you'll have Waka tonight. You'll have Marsh tomorrow, and then you set up with your three big guns in the Boston series. You do like that, but you still got to get through this one, and their road games. And the Royals continue to struggle on the road. They just lost 2 out of 3 in Colorado, which they cannot do if they want to stay in this thing. They have to beat bad teams. Here we go. This is a good opportunity. I mean, I think, you know, we like to do this. What is an expectation? What can we settle for? I think a split you settle for. But there's no reason they can't take these two games, I think, by any means. Who do they go up against? They'll go up against Sonny Gray, who's been good, and Piante. I'm not sure how he says his name, but he's pretty good too. So it's going to be tough sledding for that offense on the road where they haven't been very good up against two pretty good pitchers in that red hot Cardinals team.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest key, as you mentioned, is how bad the Royals have been lately on the road. That's been their Achilles heel. They've got one of the best records in Major League Baseball at home, but away from Kauffman Stadium, it's just not really working out for them. And, you know, if there's a way that they can kind of bottle up what they were able to do in the finale on Sunday against the Rockies offensively and parlay that into this two-game set against St. Louis, I mean, of course, that's going to be positive for Kansas City, but that's easier said than done, again, knowing the struggles they've had on the road and knowing how much better the Cardinals have been playing as of late. You know, I think the Cardinals, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they only have one All-Star selection. And because, of course, they're taking taking the entire season into consideration, and the Cardinals were abysmal early on. But as of late, they've had several players that have really started to turn things around. And so, you know, there's still quite a bit of talent on that St. Louis team. And so the Royals have got to be, cognizant of that going into this game, that they've got to try to limit how great the Cardinals have been playing as of late. They've found themselves back in the playoff hunt, the Cardinals have. They've got themselves back over 500. And this is a team that looks like they're for real, especially in the second half of the year.
I would have to, how about, here's a stat for you. Of all the teams in Major League Baseball right now that are above 500, the Cardinals are the only team with a negative run differential. So
I believe that.
I'd have to defer to Bob Lutz on this, because I don't know if that's a product of just how bad they were early. I think it is, but I'm not sure. Or, and this happens, if it's a product of when they win games, they win really close games. And when they lose games, maybe they're not as close. That happens from time to time. I would imagine it's some combination of both. We'll have to ask Bob. But isn't that strange? Of all the teams across Major League Baseball with records above 500, the Cardinals are the only team of that group that have a negative run differential, and it's not a small negative run. They're 33 in the wrong side of that. 33 runs, basically under zero in that run differential. That's pretty wild. I don't know what that means or what to take of it. It does sort of speak to how strange a season it's been for the Cardinals, but they're hot right now, for sure. They have been, because they were real bad to start the year. You know, when we first started like projecting out parts of the schedule and looking at this, it was really before that, I don't remember when it was now, that really brutal stretch they had where they had the Yankees and the Dodgers in the same week. At that time, we were looking ahead. I'm like, oh, good. You know, there's a series against the Cardinals. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, that's not good. Now the Cardinals and Boston look like a really tough stretch of games, which makes the Colorado run pretty disappointing. And, you know, it's been, you know, they lost the Tampa series. They lost the Colorado series. We're getting to that point where the Royals are sort of in crunch time, and I don't know either, and I think this is entirely possible. Like, they could still be so streaky that we haven't seen them come out of the cold stretch, and they could still light fire, but there are so many teams now in the race. If you look, I mean, Minnesota won again yesterday, so that puts you going into the day. Kansas City is 3.5 games back of the Twins. They're 8.5 games back of Cleveland,
yeah, Cleveland,
which I think you don't even worry about Cleveland at this point. They're not something you worry about. They're 1.5 games behind Boston, 2 games behind the Twins in the wild card. Sorry, so they're not just a loss column. And then 4.5 behind the Yankees in the wild card race. All three of those wild card spots are attainable for the Royals. So I think you just sort of ignore Cleveland for now. You got to worry still about Houston and Tampa underneath you. And you just win a bunch of games, as many as you can. They've won 5 out of their last 10. 500 baseball the rest of the way isn't going to be good enough. How many games have they played? They've played 92 games, so they have 70 games left. Quick math, 49 plus 35, if they went 500 the rest of the way, Tommy, is only 84 wins on the season. I believe that's correct. 70 games left, they've played 92. If they go 35 and 35 down the stretch, that's not even going to be close.
Yeah, that won't be enough to get to the final wild card spot.
It may not be within 7 games of getting the final. So they have to play much better than they have in this magical wild ride of a season that we've been having. And this is why the metrics and the analytics don't like them to make the playoffs, by the way. Because all of those things know they got to be better than they've been up to this point. And that, you know, I don't think that's possible without some moves at the trade deadline. Now, I fully expect them to make those moves at the trade deadline. I think something, you know, analytics and predictive things don't bake in as much as maybe we do, is that they could, they very well may have the best 1-5 starting rotation in Major League Baseball. And the fact that those things don't ever predict the streakiness of a team. And this team does appear to be insanely streaky. And at some point, they're going to hit the hot end of that streak. They just will. And they're going to win a ton of games. Will it be enough? I think you've got to raise the floor of the bat to get where they need to be. And I just don't think they can do that without a couple of moves at the trade deadline. But, you know, something else that J.J. Piccolo brought up yesterday that I thought was right. And we've talked about this too a little bit. One of the best things that can happen for the Royals between now and the end of the season is the continued improvement for MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. That makes you need like one outfielder, right? Like if those guys can continue to be threats down in the lineup, now you probably only need one bat. Their collective OPS, I think it was Passan that had this yesterday in his thing, is so far the worst in baseball. Like, it's not close. Like, they're basically, they could do anything and improve that. It's so far below the major league average. Yeah. But I think they only need one, because I do think MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro are probably both better than anything they'll find on the open market. So you really just need one, and you could get an infielder. I mean, you could, but...
Oh, I think you got to go outfield. And I'm pretty sure at least as of... maybe this was a couple of weeks ago, that the only team in Major League Baseball that had a lower OPS collectively for outfielders were the White Sox. And it's funny. Right, yeah. It's funny that Tommy Pham has been a name floated around because, of course, he's an outfielder for the White Sox. So, but I do understand that, you know, they've got to absolutely find a way to make that better. And to Hunter Renfro's credit, he has started to hit the ball better than he did during, you know, before his
way
abysmal
he's
start to the season, right? You know, so that's good. And he's starting to hit a little bit more like the player that the Royals thought that they were getting when they signed him. But there still is absolutely a lack of overall consistent production from the outfielders. And I do think that that's got to be, you know, really the priority. We talked about it yesterday, whether it's, you know, an outfield, corner outfielder, whoever they can bring in that's got that consistent bat. They don't need him to hit a bunch of home runs. They don't need him to be, a force in the lineup. They need a consistent guy who can get on base at the top of the lineup, who can play outfield. That's got to be really the specific player that they look for before the trade deadline.
I thought about that so much yesterday when we talked about maybe moving Fermin up there, which I'm real fond of trying that. And we'll see what they do. This will be an interesting lineup to watch today. But if we think about, so Michael Garcia is almost certainly going to be a part of whatever they do, as are MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. If you think about those guys as your, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9 hitters, that makes some sense, right? Like, you've got pop at that point up and down the lineup, guys that can threaten you up and down the lineup at least. But what you still lack is that leadoff hitter. It fills two needs. You need an outfielder, you need a leadoff hitter. You can probably go find, even if it's, I don't even care who it is, even if it's some, like Tommy Pham, I'd have to look at his on-base percentage. I don't have it in front of me. But, like, it just needs to be an outfielder that can play the outfield, because you don't have room for a DH. It's got to be somebody that can play the outfield, probably in center field, which makes it a little more challenging. I'm not sure if either Melendez or Renfro. I mean, I don't think Melendez could. Renfro, I'd have to defer to a real Royals honk on that. But you probably need a center fielder. Literally all they have to do offensively is get on base. Don't care if they hit, just like look at that specific thing. Can you get on base and can you play center field? That's it. That's all we care about here. And I think honestly, if you can do that, then you don't have to worry as much about everything. And then you just go can maybe try to find some of that bullpen that you know you'll need down the stretch. But that's it. I mean, that's what they got to have. You get who is an outfielder that can play center and can get on base for Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez.
That's really the key. And that's going to be J.J. Piccolo's main, I think, main priority heading into the trade deadline. You can always add quality bullpen pieces. They probably should. I was an advocate last week if they were going to go out and make a trade with one of the sellers, that maybe they should try to find a way to get everything they need in one trade. And there are a handful of teams out there that they're probably going to be offering up somebody that we just discussed and described, and then also probably some bullpen pieces. I mean, you could maybe get a deal done in one big trade. I don't know how likely that is, but you could probably find a way to do that, because there are, at least right now, we know of enough teams that are selling that probably have the assets to make that happen. One note I want to go back to with tonight's game with the Cardinals. You mentioned Sonny Gray. It's actually Andre Pallante getting the start for the Cardinals tonight.
Sorry, Gray's tomorrow.
That.
Yeah,
I'm seeing that in a bunch of different places. Pallante.
No, it is. Gray's tomorrow. Yeah. Sorry.
Pallante came out of the bullpen, I think, to start the season, but he's been their fifth starter for a while. He's pitched pretty well over the last couple of outings. He had a start on the 4th of July against the Pirates, 7 innings, only gave up 1 earned run, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, had a good outing against the Reds on June 28th, 5 1/3, no runs, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts. 4 of his last 5 starts have been pretty outstanding. So, you know, he's a guy that I don't know a ton about, but I know the Cardinals are trying to build him and grow him into a legitimate starter in that rotation, a permanent starter in the rotation. That's who Kansas City will have to contend with tonight.
So right now, Tommy, let's Tommy Pham, if you were to insert him right now on the Royals roster, where do you think his on-base percentage this year would slot in?
Probably somewhere around the middle, 4 or 5, I'm guessing.
4.
Yeah, 4.
He would come in and have the fourth.
Yeah.
He would have the fourth best on-base percentage. All right, we're going to postpone this break here for just a second. Let's get Mike in to talk Royals. We won't make you wait through the break with us here, Mike. What's on your mind? What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to challenge the notion a little bit that that they need to strike while the iron's hot this year. I guess I'm not buying that, because I think that we are seeing players, younger players, get better. And I don't think the iron is hot this year. I think that they're a better ball team. Certainly they have been. I'm looking forward to not only the other players getting better, but they've got Kyle Wright, who was a really good starter before he went down last year, and they got him this past winter. I think, he's going to be possibly going to be a really good contributor to the pitching staff. So we got possibly another pitcher coming in that's got a really good arm. I definitely agree with the outfield situation, because the minors, they really don't have, much going there as far as the minors. But you know what? There are a couple of guys that could solidify this team in a year or two. So I really don't think the iron is hot. And here's another thing. Yes, they don't have any really untouchable guys as far as being able to trade off. The farm system needs to produce. Free agents is not the answer at this point, or even guys, rentals coming in at the deadline. I think next year would be a better year. Yeah, Salvi's getting older, but you know what? I like Salvi at DH. Freddie has actually got a better, much higher percentage of nailing runners out, and he frames the ball better when he's catching it. I think he's a better catcher right now. So that's all I got. I just don't think this is the year to go all in. That's it.
Appreciate it. Mike, Kyle Wright, a 28-year-old who has a career 4.45 ERA. It doesn't excite me a whole lot.
He's had flashes.
I hope he's a great.
He's had flashes.
Yeah, I hope
his
he's
career.
Fine.
He's had
but
injuries
I'm not,
too. That's been the big
he's,
knock on
he's
him.
He hasn't played this year. He's 28 years old. He's got a career 4.45 ERA. I'm not hanging the future on Kyle Wright. My point with the future is, yeah, it's a tough race this year, but your clock is ticking with Lugo, Waka, Singer. Clock's ticking there. Okay, you lose those three, and the Royals aren't contending for anything. I don't want to hear about the starting pitching down on the farm. The starting pitching down on the farm is the reason this rebuild has taken three times as long as it should have. Those guys haven't developed. So how many more good years do you have out of Salvador Perez? You don't have much left out of those three starting pitchers that I mentioned. When is the iron going to be hotter than it is right now? You take those guys off the roster and you have last year's team that won 50 games. You have to take advantage of the opportunity because it's in front of you. You know, in 2016 or 17, they said, oh, well, you know, we gotta rebuild this thing. 8 years later, it ain't rebuilt.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you mentioned that Jeff Passan article yesterday from ESPN about the pressure being on J.J. Piccolo to get the trade deadline right. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And the reason is because of what Mike just said. There's not a clear-cut answer for the Royals this year going into going into the trade deadline. You know, there are teams that are clear-cut sellers. There are teams that are clear-cut buyers. The Royals are kind of in that middle ground.
They're not sellers.
They're not sellers. But as far as like what direction they should go, there are several different schools of thought that I'm not sure that any one of them is glaringly wrong that they shouldn't do. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know if the trade deadline comes and goes, if I'm going to be upset one way or the other, really, because I'm not sure that there's a really strong argument to be made either way.
Well, I think they should be buyers. I think the argument there is strong. What will make that difficult is there anybody to buy? Is the price just too high on everybody? If that's the case, well, certainly they shouldn't do that. You should never pay the wrong price. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be aggressive and try to do something. And listen, we're all on the Freddie Fermin at the top of the lineup, put him in at leadoff train. We got to take a quick break. We're up against one. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Paul Mills coming hour number two. Brandon Zinner from Vegas. Big 12 Media Days coming hour number two. We'll wrap up hour number one right after this.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, everybody. Quick segment here. Set up our second hour. Paul Mills is going to join us right at the top of the hour. So we'll talk a little Shocker hoops, get caught up on the summer. Looking forward to that conversation. And then later in the hour, we'll connect with Brandon Zinner out from Las Vegas as he gets ready to cover Big 12 Media Days for 12 News. Looking forward to that. I think, well, you want to talk about a home run. Having that event out there this year with all the expansion, I mean, come on now. Like that is perfect timing. I have seen more media people like, hey, we're out in Vegas than ever before. And there's again, Brett Yormark's playing chess. Yeah. He knows how this game works.
You're going to get those media members, you know, pretty happy and excited to, you know, be on location to go and do that.
Who doesn't want to go to Vegas?
Well, yeah, and I don't remember which player it was from which team, but I know that there's a player that's representing one of the teams in the Big 12 that is not 21 yet.
Oh.
And so he can't do the interviews at the casino, because I think they're having it at the Circa, I think is where it's happening, I believe.
Well, they're not having it in like a conference room?
No, like it's at one of the casinos, but it's a 21-plus area. He can't get into it, so he's got to go do his portion. I think from the Golden Nugget, I think is where they put him, because he can get into there.
Downtown.
Yeah, so I don't remember exactly who that is, but I did see that yesterday. So that's one downside about it, is that not everybody's going to be 21 and able to enjoy that.
A lot of interns might be in trouble out there for some of the media outlets. But we'll check in with Brandon, see how it's going. It's like 130 degrees out there yesterday. Oh, whew. Does it even matter once you get to a certain number? I don't know. All right, we're going to come back with Paul Mills right when we return. It's Sports Daily on KFH on 12 News Connected. Here we go. Hour number two coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Here, hour number two of Sports Daily. We'll give away some HTO this hour to you. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. We are coming to you live on KFH, live on the Odyssey app, live on 12 News Connected in a new simulcast partnership. We appreciate that. Are looking forward to watching that grow. And we needed to bring in the big guns here to help celebrate that launch, and that's why we've got Paul Mills with us, Wichita State men's basketball coach. We do not need to get into the American League West standings, something I like to talk trash about, but only when the Rangers are ahead of the Astros. Coach Mills is an Astros fan. You guys know I'm a Rangers fan. I'm not happy about it. Coach, thanks for being here. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I don't think either of our two teams are anything to brag about at this particular juncture, it is interesting just to watch how the baseball race plays out over the course of the season. 162 games and 8 months is quite an extensive period.
We can all be Royals fans right now. How about that? It's fun having them good. Coach, it's you guys, give us an update on the schedule. I know the summer's, you know, for all intents, you've had work. Are you still working? Is that portion done? What is happening right now for Shocker Hoops?
Yeah, you start at the beginning of June, and you basically go 4 weeks. We get 8 weeks total with the players, and you're 4 weeks into it. July 4th is kind of the midpoint, and so July 3rd, that extended weekend, we worked out that morning, the 3rd, and then started back yesterday. So just left the weight room. They're all downstairs in the weight room. We work out at 9:30 every morning, and we've got another 4 weeks. So I always consider July 4th kind of that turning point. The first four weeks of the summer, you're kind of getting acclimated with new guys, trying to remember terminology that was used the previous season, may introduce a concept one or two. And then July 4th, it's kind of, all right, we need to amp this up and begin that process. And then I think from here on out, it just continues to level up when they get back in beginning of August for school. It ramps up, and then you get into practice, and then you get into games. And so we're kind of on a phase where we need to continue to elevate and get better. So excited about what occurred yesterday. It's a really, really good group, very competitive. Sometimes when you get players returning from a four-day weekend, you usually have a little bit of time in order to get acclimated to, hey, this is the pace at which we do things. And I thought they were actually really good yesterday.
Coach, as far as the newcomers on the roster are concerned, I think I've got a level of excitement for all of them for different reasons. But just after kind of watching some tape on A.J. McGinnis and what he brought to Lipscomb and the way that he shoots the basketball and all of that, what have you seen from him specifically during this offseason and kind of, you know, continuing to want to take that next step forward and be that shot maker, playmaker for Wichita State?
Yeah, his ability to make shots specifically off catch and shoot and in transition is really impressive. I mean, we were showing the players this yesterday that if you look at everybody that was drafted, everybody except for four players out of every collegiate player that was drafted, they contribute a lot. They contribute more offensively, and they're valued defensively. Just when you figure that out, they are in the plus category. And so AJ on the plus side, just think about this. If you're a 40% shooter and all you're doing is shooting threes, let's say, you're 40 times three, that's 120. You're contributing 1.2 points per possession every time you touch the ball. And if you can get anything over a one, you're really good. His numbers are really good. When you look at what the offensive impact that he makes, defensively, he keeps people under a one. So he has value both ways. You know, I tell the guys all the time, I'm not interested in people who only care about half of the game. And what happens a lot of times is players are only interested in offensive numbers. How am I shooting it? What is my assist rate? How is my turnover rate? And they're factoring in. But I think we've spent a great deal of time this first 4 weeks regarding individual defense, and he's got the capability because of his size and his length, and he did a good job at Lipscomb at being somewhat of a nuisance, but I think he can be way more disruptive, and he's embraced that.
I want to ask about the two freshmen. TJ Williams, we've obviously followed around here for a long time, Coach. Zion Pipkin, we did get like a real brief look at him through Sunrise last year in a team that they played. How are freshmen generally with you? And I know it's changed a little bit with the way college basketball has changed, but how do you typically try to fit freshmen in? Is it case by case? And do you see either of those guys as big-time contributors through what you've seen out of them so far?
That's a great question because it is a case-by-case basis. I mean, I was fortunate at Oral Roberts, had a freshman there, Max A. Smith, and we started him from the very first day. And it was obvious. I actually didn't think he would be able to play until he was a junior. And then, you know, his sophomore year, he ends up being player of the year in the conference. Had another guy, Kevin O'Banner. Both of those guys ended up being AP All-Americans. But both of those guys played as freshmen. And I think some of it just has to do with how quickly can you pick things up in regards to the pace and the physicality. Unfortunately for TJ, he's been out. He's dealt with injuries the first 4 weeks, so he hasn't been with us. And so it's hard to even make any kind of decision on TJ. We're all aware of how talented he is, and being received, being recognized as Kansas Player of the Year is a tribute to how good he is, given the basketball that's produced in this state. But he, to be honest with you, he hadn't been with us. If you look at experience on this team, we're the most experienced team in this league. And so if you look at everybody, there's a place called Bart Torvik that just updated their rankings the other day. And if you just look at experience, I mean, we have a really veteran group. And so I think sometimes that's what makes it difficult for veteran or for freshmen. That just kind of depends on how much age and experience you have on your team. Zion has been really good. Zion is a pest defensively. His motor does not stop. He, you know, especially as you get older, you watch these little 7, 8, 9-year-old kids just running around all the time, and you're like, man, did I do that? Like, where do you get that energy? That's who he reminds me of, like being around a bunch of old people, and he's a 7-year-old, and he's just running around constantly trying to make an impact on the game. And his energy level has been terrific. His decision-making has been terrific. And you tell the guys all the time, I need you to play so well that I look like an idiot if I don't play you. And if I don't play him at this particular juncture, we would look really stupid as a staff because he's made a huge impact.
Hmm. Coach, rather than me completely butchering the pronunciation of his name, I'll let you...
Mate?
Mate. Okay, Mate.
Yeah.
So the young man from Croatia that you signed a few weeks ago, you know, he brings just a tremendous amount of experience to this roster and you know, obviously fills a role with his rebounding ability and, you know, some of these other things that he brings. From the experience standpoint, what does that mean for your roster? I mean, he's been playing against professional athletes in Croatia for a number of years now. So talk a little bit about what that process was like bringing him over to the roster and what he brings to your team.
Sure. You know, as we were going through it, you're trying to find people who can play alongside Quincy and also at the same time play without Quincy on the floor. And you have to provide some level of versatility. So, hey, whether Quincy's on the floor or whether he's off the floor, knowing Quincy Ballard's impact, can we find somebody who can come in and be able to make an impact immediately, knowing that Quincy Ballard cannot play all 40 minutes? And I don't know that there were a lot of guys in the transfer portal who wanted to play alongside Quincy, or more importantly, be a backup. Bryce Drew, who's a head coach at Grand Canyon, is a really good friend. And they had a kid, Darius Garland, at Vanderbilt. And he was always telling me, I cannot find another point guard. Because everybody knew Darius Garland, who now plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he was going to play the majority of the time. So nobody wanted to go in there and be his backup. Well, when Darius got hurt three games in, it went sideways for Vanderbilt. And he said the reason is we just couldn't get anybody. So everybody on the transfer market was keenly aware of how good Quincy Ballard was when they examined our program. But we needed to find somebody with size who had experience, who could also play not only with, but if Quincy was off the floor, we would not lose out if Quincy was on the bench and this particular person was in. And I can't tell you how excited I am about Mate. He's played professionally since he was 18. And when you play professionally in Europe, I'm not sure if you're aware of how physical that is. What we consider fouls in America are not fouls in Europe. And he's played at really high levels against NBA players, 30, 35-year-old men. And so he's 22. He's ready for it. He's played against grown men. He will not take long. I feel like we're very European-minded in regards to how we do things offensively, without getting too much into it, but you see a lot of live ball dribbles via pick and roll in European basketball rather than American, and if you look at it, that's really what we do. And I think that his learning curve is pretty small, but from a physicality standpoint, for a guy his first time playing American basketball, he's going to be able to make this transition pretty smoothly.
That is sort of the theme in basketball right now. He's interesting for where he's from and all of those things. His size. Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills joining us. Coach, who is the guy? We talked a lot about the new players here, but who's the guy? We talked about the experience too coming back. Who's going to surprise us? Who's going to surprise us of the guys coming back and how much they've grown through their, you know, first season with you anyway, and into this next season with you?
Yeah, I would tell you Harlan Beverly. You know, Harlan, there was a knock on him. He could get to the rim. He has playmaking ability in the open court. He led us in assist. But it was, I don't know how comfortable he is at shooting jump shots. He has, I can remember, met with him in March. A little after the Final Fours, all the GAs came running up one day and said, you would not believe Harlan's shot. And we sit down with guys, and we're pretty honest just about how we approach things and what needs to get better and how it needs to get better. But I think any time that you have a guy who is willing to make changes because they recognize it's beneficial for the team and it's beneficial for them, his ability to shoot and make jump shots through the first 4 weeks. Now, we'll see how this translates, but I can tell you he's very confident shooting the ball. He has not lost his ability to get to the cup and to be able to pass, but I think he's more comfortable and understanding what it is we're trying to do from an offensive standpoint, and then I'm well aware of what he adds defensively. And he is a great on-ball defender. And so I think people will be pleasantly surprised by Harlan and the strides that he's made.
Coach Zane Meeks also joins the roster this year. He's a native Kansas City Metro player. Last year, you know, was on the roster for the Sun Devils at Arizona State, but only played in a handful of games because of an ankle injury. As you have added him to the roster and being able to work him into what you're wanting to do, how's he coming along as far as coming off of that injury? Is he somebody that you think can be a contributor on this team?
Definitely be able to contribute. He adds an ability to shoot the ball that from a five spot that it's hard sometimes for other bigs to keep up with him. And so what we found out during the course of the league, outside of Memphis and UAB, most people are playing small ball four. And some people even play small ball five. And I do think that if you're trying to give yourself a different look, a.k.a. the Boston Celtics, where they had Horford and Porzingis at the five and can kind of keep it spread, that's one of the things that Zane allows you to do. When you have a guy like an immobile big on the other team, I think trying to chase Zane around and his ability to shoot the ball, I mean, he understands who he is. But he is extremely vocal. I remember the coaches at Nevada, Steve Alford, told me he's a better rebounder than what you think. And I thought he was a good rebounder, especially when you look at the numbers. But his ability to rebound defensively, his ability to be vocal, and again, you're dealing with a guy who's in his sixth year, and he's got an IQ and a savviness about him that a lot of players don't have, simply because of his experience. So he will 100% be a part of what we're doing in this upcoming year.
Wichita men's basketball coach Paul Mills, Wichita State, I should say, joining us here. Coach, one more for you. And I think this is probably, if I talk to fans, maybe the number one question I would get is, who's going to be Colby Rogers? Who's going to give you guys three-pointers a game, shooting over 40%? Is that a guy? Is it a collection of guys? How would you assuage that loss from behind the arc for the roster this year and what you've seen so far in summer work?
Yeah, I do think it's a collective unit. I mean, if you look at how we played a year ago, we were basically seven deep, where we were able to return five of our top seven from a year ago. But I do think that we'll be able to go even deeper. I think that if you look at the length of our bench and the value that people add, and sometimes being able to play a little differently, I don't think it's going to be any one person. So you kind of had Colby, and then you had a whole bunch of guys between that 11 and 9 mark. I think you'll see the number increase to, you know, maybe our leading score is at 14, but instead of having two and three guys around that 11-point to 9-point mark, I think it'll be closer to 4 or 5. And I think that's kind of what will balance it out more than anything. We need to be, we were fifth in our league last year defensively. We need to be better defensively, and that's going to be a collective unit. But even with Colby Rogers, and this is not a knock on him, we were 13th out of 14 teams in offensive efficiency. So I think we'll be better in regards to that area. I think we're going to be better in both areas, defensively and offensively, but that's going to be due to our depth instead of just one person.
Coach, we appreciate it. Paul Mills, the summer work continues. Wichita State looking for a big season, lots of experience. And let's do this again when we get through the full summer workouts as we continue to get ready. As you guys, hey, you've got TBT coming up. You excited for that?
Excited. I think what it really does for it reinforces to the guys who've been here just how passionate our fan base is, and it really energizes the new guys, especially when they've been at other programs. So it's extremely excited. Garrett Stutz had texted me earlier this morning, so I'm excited about seeing former Shockers, and I'm excited that our players kind of get an idea about what a CKA, a rowdy CKA, actually sounds like.
Yep. And you, with the rosters for not just you guys, K-State, KU, it's going to be a rowdy environment this year. So we love that, too.
No doubt. No doubt.
We're looking forward to it. All right, Coach. We know you're busy.
Gentlemen,
we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks,
today.
Coach.
You
Let's
bet.
Do it again soon. There goes Paul
Thanks.
Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. Always appreciate his time here on Sports Daily. We'll do that once they get through workouts. I catch a major tone of optimism, Tommy, and I'm here for it. I am. I'm starting to get pretty excited about this roster. I think there's a lot to work with there, but we can dig into that. We'll get into Big 12 Media Days as well. We can react to some of that. We'll connect with Brandon Zinner in just a little bit. I'll make sure he's ready to roll. I know he's already been emailing. So he's up and at him. We'll get his sort of preview on his coverage for the day, what he expects out there. That's coming as well. Let's set up our second giveaway here. This time we'll set up the HTO. You can text to win some HTO iced tea, free rain coffee. All you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. You'll win one free tea, one free coffee. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We'll come back. More Sports Daily on KFH on 12 News Connected. Don't go away. Good stuff there. We appreciate Paul Mills for stopping by. You can go back and listen to that if you missed any of it on the Odyssey app. You can also go back and watch it through the video stream. 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, lots of ways to watch the show. Nice new clean look. Thanks to Zeb for doing his thing and not leaving us in charge of these things. It looks good, though. We appreciate that. I appreciate the launch. It's been fun. Hey, there's Zeb on camera right behind Tommy. Thanks, Zeb. Also had a setup at that sweet Wichita Open thing. We lean on Zeb pretty heavy here. Listen, we're just here to talk. All the other stuff. I make those jokes. I people always ask me, like, what do you do when you go in? Do you just, like, go in and sit down? I'm like, that would be great. No, we write, we produce. I do a lot of I make all the graphics for the shows that you see when I'm on there.
You're so, not Ron Burgundy, basically.
We have some knowledge of things. Yeah. Edit video, shoot video. I don't shoot as much. That's one thing I don't do as much of now as I used to. I don't shoot the video as much as I used to. But anyway. We will have Brandon Zinner. I need to text him. I said I would, and I forgot. So I'll text him here in just a second, Tommy. We'll get him on to talk about Big 12 Media Days. Paul Mills there, though. I continue to get – I don't know. I always try to, like, feel things out. And I just – my feel is they're pretty excited about this group. I think it'll be a good fit. I think it's much deeper than the roster was a year ago. More experienced, certainly. And I think if we just try to compare group to group collectively, and they'll miss Colby Rogers, I think. But if they can figure out a way to replicate his production as a three-point shooter, which basically equates to three threes a game, 40%, that's a big ask. But if they can do that, I think this team has a chance to be near the top of the league. I mean, I don't want to get overly aggressive with that, but you know, they were right there last year on the cusp. Maybe, you know, those little changes can put them over the edge, and experience matters too, especially with a new coach.
Well, that experience part, I think, is really the bottom line. And, you know, Coach Mills really talked quite a bit about how this team is loaded with experienced players, and really outside of Williams and Pipkin, I mean, you've got either returners or you've got transfers. And so it's a very experienced group. And, you know, he made a point to mention, and I'm sure you caught this too, that they are the most experienced team in the American Conference.
Yep.
And that's going to matter. That's going to matter coming down the stretch. It's going to matter as they're competing for an American Conference championship. And it doesn't mean that there potentially aren't teams in the conference that have more talent or more skills or whatever. But from an experience standpoint, you know, it's Wichita State and then everybody else. And so you've got to be able to channel that. There were so many games last year. I remember you and I being incredibly frustrated. And if we were frustrated, then I can only imagine how frustrated the coaching staff was of these close games down the stretch that Wichita State couldn't close out, that they couldn't win those games. In my mind, in a lot of cases, that's the difference in experience. You know, that's the difference in being there before. You know, you've got a couple of players that have, you know, transferred in this season. I think of, you know, Justin Hill, for example, that has played against SEC opponents. You know, you've got, you know, Corey Washington, who came from St. Peter, and he's got, you know, NCAA tournament experience. Like, that experience coming in, I think, matters on top of the current guys that you are returning. And they've got, you know, the scars to show that they were part of this team last season, that there were a lot of these games that they couldn't close it out and they couldn't get it done. And, you know, I'm sure they don't want to duplicate that, you know, for this year. So I do think that that matters. I think the other thing that is really important is that, you know, now you've got, you know, a little bit more of, you know, consistency, because this coaching staff is now entering year number two. They've got an entire offseason. They've got an entire, you know, stretch of time to get this team ready to go, where, you know, last year it was implementing their systems and their schemes and their expectations and all of that. Well, now you've got 1 year under your belt and you can, you know, really start to embrace year number two. So I definitely pick up on that, that sense of optimism. I mean, you can hear that in his voice, I think, you know, from talking with him today.
Yeah, and the other, there's a couple other things I think. A, it's not going to be something that Paul Mills does to say one negative thing about any player, anything, and I appreciate that. But I do think when you hear about experience, you can naturally infer that that was something they didn't have a year ago. And that's not a bold proclamation. It's just a matter of fact. They didn't have a lot of experience last year. Colby Rogers hadn't played yet. You had eligibility issues for two of the players that ultimately got worked out, but kind of messed things up early in the year. Like, it everything felt late to the start. So last year we were so excited because they didn't have any experience that they got to go to Greece. Now they have experience. And yes, there are new players that will need to contribute, but when you talk about, you know, that experience that keeps getting mentioned, that's experience of what it takes to play in the AAC. So even the, you know, the messaging, the attitude among peers now can be very much like, here's what needs to happen now to be in a position to be where we want to be when we get into conference play. I think that matters too. And then you need some of the new players to, you know, be able to put up the production. So I'm pretty optimistic. I would say that I'm certainly more optimistic than I was going in last year. And I'm always pretty optimistic about everything. And I think this is a team that can get there. And I know that work right now is so important to that. But I keep getting the feel that there's quite a bit of optimism right now about what's being seen, what's been put together. So we'll see. We need it. We love it. And yes, the TBT should give us a nice appetizer to all of these things here very soon. But the Shockers will be good. Yeah, Brandon Zinner will be good to go. We will join him in just a minute. He is, you know, in the process of getting credentialed, so we'll see where he is when we give him a call in just a minute. But Big 12 Media Days out there in Vegas right now. I love that we've got Brandon out there, because Media Days are interesting. Don't get me wrong. I like Media Days. I think that they are sort of the beginning of the buzz of a football season. I get it. But this one is bigger for the Big 12. There is so much out there for the Big 12. No Texas and Oklahoma. Great storyline, right? They're gone. The league, from a football, certainly from a basketball, but from a football perspective, I think the league is better. Now, I say that knowing those were the top two teams in the league again last year. Those would have been the two representatives. But the collection of teams now, top to bottom, I think I heard Lance Leipold on the Jim Rome show right here on KFH yesterday, by the way, talk about just how good it is everywhere. We talked about it when the media poll came out. The top 11 teams, you could make, you wouldn't even have to try that hard to make a case for any of those 11 teams to be on top. And it may be deeper than that, but it's at least that. You had five teams getting first place votes. Five. I don't know what the coaches are going to do with their poll, and we'll see that some point this week, I think. But that just tells you, this thing is going to be wacky, wild, a ton of fun. I think the only fear in that is that you only get one team in a 12-team playoff because they do beat up on each other a little bit. But as far as the season itself, it will be better. There will not be games off, most likely, in the Big 12. I mean, there hasn't been for a long time. Now you get that with 16 of these teams. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I think that, you know, clearly the parity has improved significantly in this conference this season. I think that you've got kind of the top level. Of course, everybody's always going to point at Oklahoma and Texas. You know,
as they should.
Programs,
those two
right?
teams have owned the league in football. They have.
You know, they well, go away.
Oklahoma has.
They go away, and then you end up with a more even conference. And even with the newcomers coming in, you know, Utah. They are the media's favorite to win the league this year. Is that likely?
Just barely, but just barely. I mean, one vote over K-State.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I, you know, that's not going to be the team that I put money on to win the Big 12. And it's solely because, you know, I think that, and I haven't seen futures odds, but I would imagine that they're going to be the betting favorite. So I'm not sure that the odds are, you know, going to be all that insane, you know, for them. But I think it shows just how even everything is becoming. And even though there were five teams that received first place votes, I think that there is probably what, seven or eight teams, maybe more, that you could make some kind of case for that they could at least contend for a Big 12 championship.
Utah is, and I mean slightly, ahead of K-State by Vegas odds, plus 325. This is ESPN bet. Kansas State plus 375. Oklahoma State and UCF, man, UCF at plus 750. They must really love that quarterback coming in there. And then Kansas is at plus 800. So here's what I would tell. I don't like any of those, by the way. Maybe Kansas, if you could tell me that Jalen Daniels plays the whole year is the bet to make. I certainly, in a league this crowded, don't, as much as K-State is my pick to win it, I don't love them as a bet at plus 375 to win a league like this. I think I just think it's hard. There will be any number of things that happen. It's going to be a logjam. It's going to be a mess. I would take K-State if it's me, because I think they have the most dynamic player in the conference, and the rest of the country will find that out here pretty quick with Avery Johnson. But if you tell me Jalen Daniels is going to play every game, I mean, it's hard. You know, that's what I mean. Like, it's there. You can make a case. What if Prime is got, you know, at least a 22 guys out there? Maybe it's not the deepest, but he needs, because he's got the number one draft pick most likely, and another guy who's a Heisman candidate as a two-way player. Like, and that's at they're picked 11. That's what, like, this is going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts in a good way. And I would tell you this too. If Oklahoma and Texas were still there, I'm telling you that I would pick K-State to win the league. I'm telling you that I like any of the top five that got first place votes, honestly. Man, I'd put any one of those teams up against Texas or Oklahoma this year. And I think Texas and Oklahoma, I think Texas especially, I think they're going to be good. But I think even if they were still in the league, we'd be having the same conversation. I don't think anybody's running away with it. I don't think anybody would have run away with it if they're still in the league. Now we get to go out to Vegas, celebrate it all. Brett Yormark, maybe he's got a nuclear bombshell news item that he could drop for us about the league, as he likes to do, with the spotlight on the Big 12. They sort of get this stage to themselves now. It's fantastic. All right, we do have Brandon Zinner. Want to give him enough time to sort of help us break all this down. So let's take a break here. Don't forget, you can win some HTO. I want to tell you that this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support. Give them a call. Ask them about their memberships. There are junior memberships if you're not 40 years old. There are social memberships. There are golf memberships. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. We're both members. We both love it. We'll be back. Brandon Zinner, 12 News, joins us. Talk Big 12 Media Days. Don't go away. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on KFH, on the Odyssey app, on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all over the place. Speaking of 12 News, we're joined right now by Brandon Zinner, who will have reporting on 12 News all day long, live from Las Vegas, today and tomorrow. No lack of storylines, Brandon. I mean,
how's Vegas? And B, how do you even like choose what to do in each day? This is quite a year for Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Thanks for having me on. As you know from our previous correspondence, my first priority this morning was make sure the coffee was in hand. We got that done.
Yeah.
So now it's just time to great time to just enjoy the rest of the day. And by that I mean I have just walked into Allegiant Stadium. Of course, the place is decked out. You wouldn't think this is Big 12 country, but with Brett Bjormark, everywhere is now Big 12 country. It is ready for Big 12 Media Days. The first stop last night, as far as deciding what to do when you're out west, you have to get In-N-Out, of course.
No, come on. You're an In-N-Out guy.
I just appreciate good food. So,
one of the great debates that I get into with anybody that will listen is In-N-Out versus Whataburger. Now, I'm from Texas. You can imagine where my allegiance lies on this. In-N-Out, Tommy, I'm sorry if you're working on an In-N-Out sponsorship for the show here, but I'm going to tell you that I'm not there with it. I think it's so overrated. So overrated. But good for you. I'm happy for you. My first stop would have been to the craps table. You're a Whataburger partaker too, bro. What do you prefer, In-N-Out or Whataburger?
If I'm going for a burger, I prefer In-N-Out. There's just something that's so fresh about it. They do the burger right.
It's Thousand Island dressing. That's what it is.
Whataburger's best options aren't even the burgers. They got the patty melt, which is fantastic. I'll give them that. And then the honey barbecue chicken tender sandwich is also great. They got the spicy ketchup. A lot of things going for both of them. You know,
green chili double
any given day.
Hey, I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm going to go Shake Shack over all of them. So In-N-Out or Whataburger, and I'll be a happy camper.
But Five Guys takes the cake with all of them, so it doesn't matter.
And you know, here in Wichita, Spangles appreciate their support. I think we hear their spots. There's all kinds of good burgers, but In-N-Out and Whataburger always happens because I have West Coast friends that like to have that debate. My Texas roots take me there. Anywho, Big 12 Media Days. It's your mark today. Do you guys expect him? He loves to take these moments to drop bombshells. Anything being rumored out there in that regard with him this year, do you think, or what's sort of the expectation with his, you know, gathered media briefing today?
I think a lot of what we're going to expect to hear is just kind of continuing on what we've heard at last year's football media days, and then a continuation of basketball, which is then all the talk was about conference expansion. How are we going to go? Remember, when we talked back in October for basketball media days, we didn't know who was joining the Big 12, and now all of a sudden we're 8-9 months later, and there are four teams that have since been announced and joined the conference. Things have moved fast, so I think they're going to continue to hammer home how well they're doing in the media rights, and then as well as there's going to be more talk about conference expansion. Can they get to 18? Can they get to 20 teams and become a super conference, just like we've seen with a big expansion in the Big Ten, in the SEC? I think that's going to be a lot of what's hammered home is where does this conference go next? And now they've built into the superpower that is 16 teams and pretty good teams in football.
Tomorrow, the first coach to do his interview is Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, in his debut as part of the Big 12. You know, the one thing that you can always expect about Coach Prime is you never know what to expect. But as you are, you know, there and you know, talking with everybody, knowing that Coach Prime is going to be there and he's always going to grab the headlines, what are you looking for from Coach Prime? What do you expect to have happen from that?
What I'm looking for is the amount of media members that are going to be around his table when he has the one-hour breakout session, because that is just going to be I hope you get in there and ask about Dylan Edwards. He has a long history with the new K-State running backs, dating back to when he was a kid, and now he coached him for the first year when he was in Colorado. What kind of stuff will he tell me about what kind of competitor he's going to have to go against now, and also what kind of guy is K-State getting? But also, this is just if this conference and kind of the spotlight that's on it feels made for where Colorado football is at right now. We saw the circus that was around them last year, the sellout, the hundreds, if not thousands, of media members trying to go do those games. In Colorado, they love the spotlight, and they're going to get plenty of it here. And so it's just going to be a madhouse around all those guys, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and especially Deion Sanders come tomorrow morning.
So this is just sort of an appetizer day here with Brandon, because the talking happens after we talk now, and then we'll get, you know, we'll get Brandon on here to tell us about what he heard over the couple of days. So you've got Kleiman today, right? When does Leipold go?
Leipold will speak tomorrow. I believe he is the second or third coach, so he'll be around noon tomorrow, Wednesday here in Las Vegas.
All right, so we know your marks there. Give us, you know, give us, set us up for what you expect to have on 12 News all day. What conversations are you having? What, you know, I know it'll be a K-State focus then today, but what have you been working on? What can we expect?
Yeah, so the big thing we saw last week, the media poll came out. We saw K-State pick second. We saw KU pick fourth, which is just huge for the state of Kansas. We also had Leipold and Kleiman announced as preseason the watch list for the National Coach of the Year. No surprise there. But as far as today, 12 News specifically, should be getting a one-on-one with Mays' own Avery Johnson, now getting set to be the first-year starter for Kansas State football under center. Hope to speak as well as Marcus Siegel, was one of the better defensive backs in all of the Big 12 last year. He now steps into an even more elevated role in that secondary. So hope to have one-on-one with both of them, and then we're going to continue to – we haven't really got the chance to talk to Kleiman a whole lot about Dylan Edwards. So what has this journey been like from his standpoint? He's going to obviously not say too much there, but I want to hear what kind of player he thinks he's getting, because that backfield with him and DJ Giddens, man, that is going to be something special. We talked so much about Dylan, but I mean, we forget about DJ Giddens being one of the best running backs maybe in the country last year, over 1,000 yards as well. So, yeah, just going to be fun to – Steve, I expect the Big 12 coaches poll will come out today. We haven't been told anything officially. Maybe I missed that in email. But it's going to be fun to see where the coaches expect this KU team that just continues to take steps, and the K-State team with a whole lot of new leadership on both sides of the ball, where the coaches think they're going to finish. So it's a lot of things that we're going to crank out tonight on 12 News.
That three-headed rushing attack, good luck opposing defenses. And, yeah, remember, Dylan Edwards – was committed to K-State, and then Notre Dame, and then Colorado, and is now back at K-State. So a lot of good stuff there. Brandon, just wanted to let you set the table for that. You can check out all Brandon's work on 12 News tonight, kwch.com. You can follow him on social at kwchbrandon. He'll have all kinds of good stuff, always finding good nuggets and putting it out there on social for you as well. Let's do it again tomorrow. We'll recap what you learned about K-State, and we'll look ahead at KU.
Hopefully we'll talk about some wings at the blackjack table as well. Who knows?
Hey, let's go.
Craps. Hey, sixes and eights at craps. Don't forget the odds behind the pass line. You know, take the hard ways if you're feeling it. And the rowdier you get, the more money you win in Vegas. You got to make a fool of yourself. Nobody knows who you are out there. You're good. You're safe.
I can't tell you how far over my head you are right now, Jacob, but I appreciate the advice.
We'll go to the Kansas Star. I'll show you. Craps is the best. But blackjack's fine. All right. Brandon will be out there partying in Vegas and working, I suppose, a little bit, too. Look for his work tonight on 12 News. We appreciate Brandon. We'll check in with him the next couple of days as well on what he learns. We are up against it here. So we will get you ready for the Royals tonight when we return. We'll tell you what else is on the network tonight. I believe we have everything. We've got our two giveaways out there, our text to win contest. If you want NBC World Series tickets, you can text the keyword strike to 20357. If you want some free HTO tea and coffee, you can text the keyword tea to 20357. Message and data rates apply on both of those. You can enter each once per day. Good luck there. We'll come back. We'll get you primed up for the Royals Cardinals tonight when we return on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.